afternoon, everyone. Can I welcome you to the local review body? It's just gone 2 o'clock. Can we have apologies for absence, please?
Apologies, Chair, from Councillor Leigh Douglas, Councillor Muirhead and Councillor Milligan.
Oh, sorry. And the order of business
is as printed in the agenda, with the exception of the item number 5.4, the 2A Niven's Now Road site. For those members who are on the site visits yesterday, you'll probably be aware that the applicant's agent has requested a deferral.
Yes.
I'm trying to get my teeth in properly. So, with the board's attention, we'll deal with that at the January meeting.
Okay. Great. Right. Okay. Declarations of interest. Again, the usual caveat: you can declare at the beginning, or you can declare at the item that's appropriate. So, is there any declarations? Nope. Right. Minutes of the meeting held the 10th of October for approval. Is the correct record? Are they okay? Thank you. That takes us on then to the public reports, which was 5.1, which was the decision notice. 5.2, again, a decision notice. And we now move on to item 5.3, which was our visit to 61A Clark Street, Loanhead. Peter.
Thank you, Chair. This report relates to a review submitted regarding an application for the change of use from a chiropodist to a dwelling house at 61A Clark Street, Loanhead. The proposal also included the insertion of two additional windows into the ground floor. A planning application for the proposed development was refused on the 18th of September 2017. A copy of the decision notice, the officer's report and the applicant's review statement are in your papers. As said, the local review body carried out a site visit yesterday, and the review is to proceed by way of written submissions. Following the decision of the local review body, a decision notice will be issued through the chair, made available in the electronic case file.
Thank you very much indeed. Open up to members that were there on the visit. Anyone want to say anything? Councillor Smale.
Yeah, I don't have particularly strong views here, except that clearly a lot of the properties here were originally residential. I understand that there's a consideration of the impact of the adjoining public house, but at the end of the day, I think it's the decision of the prospective tenant whether they would consider that a problem or not. And certainly the site would be improved by being developed. It's a very rundown state at the moment.
How do others feel? Councillor Cassidy?
I tend to agree with that. Sentiment of Councillor Smales. I think the place is looking extremely run down, and anything would be an improvement round there at the moment.
Councillor McGowry.
Yeah, I'd agree with my two comrades there. Could I ask? I mean, the thing. Sorry, wrong meeting. Could I ask through the chair? Peter, the thing I wasn't very sure about is that if you actually do that up in Ardfoot, have it as a nice house. Which it maybe was originally, I'd presume, before it was actually changed of use to a shop or a chiropodist. The garage at the back looked a bit of a mess. I mean, I don't know if there's a way that could have been incorporated into the new build, because I don't know if they want to keep it as a garage. I mean, maybe they didn't want to go for too much at one time, but I think if you reconstruct the house or modernise it and leave that sticking on at the end, I don't think it looks very good, to be honest with you. But I don't know the rest of you feel, but I just thought that looked pretty much a mess, eh?
Peter. Yeah, Chair, I mean, the drawings, page 33, it shows the garage has been retained as a garage with access linking it from the kitchen. So they're obviously planning to keep that as a garage. You're most probably right, though, in terms of actually whether you would park a vehicle in there, etc. The odds are you won't. So I most probably in due course, you know, maybe scope to just convert that into another room to supplement the dwelling. But that wouldn't necessarily be a problem. But like I say, he's just proposing to keep that as a garage at the moment.
So, just to pick it up, if we were minded to support the appeal, the garage is part of that application, so therefore it would cover the point that Councillor Montgomery is making, yeah?
Yeah, absolutely. And the other thing is just worth bearing in mind as well, possibly just for interest, is if the applicant at a later date implements the dwelling house and then just wants to change that garage into a room and they're not carrying out further alterations to the building, they can actually do that without planning permission. We can do. I mean, the odd. Yeah, sure. Yeah. It must probably want to put a window in it or something else, but yeah.
Okay, we're all right on that to uphold the appeal on that one. Okay, thank you very much indeed. That then brings us on to 5.5, which is the site at 29 Waverley Road, Bonnyrigg. Again, Peter.
Thank you, Chair. Again, this is a report which relates to reviews submitted regarding an application for the change of use of a flatted dwelling house to a house of multiple occupation at 29 Waverley Road, Bonnyrigg. The proposed house of multiple occupation would have 4 bedrooms and communal kitchen and bathroom. A plan application for the proposed development was refused on the 31st of July 2017. A copy of the decision notice, the officer's report and the applicant's review statement are in your papers. Again, a site visit was carried out yesterday, the 20th of November 2017. The review is to proceed by written submissions, and again, following today's decision, a notice will be issued through the Chair and made available on the case file.
Again, open up to members that were on the site visit. Sorry,
I believe that the primary objection was about parking in the street for this application.
Yes, Chair, that's the main reason of objection refusal. It's based on the possible transport and parking implications. Yeah, it's a situation where you, I suppose, at the moment it's a family flat. You potentially have 1 or 2 vehicles. If you go to a 4-bedroom house of multiple occupation, that could increase to 4, possibly more, because looking at the drawings, the rooms are potentially all double bedrooms, so it's anxiety about that scale of parking. You remember from our site visit yesterday, we were obviously there mid-afternoon. There was a few cars parked there, not a capacity, but I imagine if you went back at 5 o'clock, 6 o'clock, then there must probably be quite a bit of competition for on-street parking.
I think what's in front of us is whether we think, as an LRB, that it's an appropriate use in that area or not, in a flatted area or not. And, I mean, that's really what we're here to determine. So, again, just open it up for anybody with any observations that they have. Councillor Smale.
Yeah, I wondered about the parking argument, because it tends to say that if you're the last man into that street, you'll be subject to a restriction that those who've been resident for a long time are not, and that perhaps is a rather arbitrary position to put the tenants of the HMO on. I was more interested in the basis of the other tenants in the block feeling that HMO was inappropriate to a building of that nature and size. I would find it difficult to say that it was inappropriate. I just wonder if other councillors have differing views.
Sorry, Councillor Cassidy.
Following on from that, is there a particular format for a house of multiple occupation? Is there a precedent being set that they're in flats or that they're ex-council houses or whatever?
There isn't anything in planning legislation, but I'll bring Peter in to just maybe clarify.
Yeah, it's an interesting one, this, because there are definitions of HMOs under licensing regimes, but not under planning. But in planning, you're making a judgment about whether there's a material change of use, and in this case, it's been judged there's a material change of use, so you require a plan application, and therefore there's an assessment. In general terms, applications that come forward, either in flats or dwelling houses, are just each assessed on their own merits. So there are cases where planning permission has been granted for HMO where the impact of maybe additional parking, etc., has not been considered to be a problem, but there's other applications which have been refused because there's a potential issue with it. So you are literally in each case weighing up the merits of it. So there's no, let's say, right, wrong, black, white answer to this. It's just weighing up the cases as they come forward.
On the question, the Chair, of the car use of the residents, perhaps not likely to be car owners if they are just able to run to renting a room in an HMO. So given that there's adequate public transport in Bonnyrigg, I wonder if that is such a strong argument.
That's a judgment, and I think what you've got to look at is place yourself in one of the flats in that block, and whether you, how you would feel regarding unrestricted, I suppose, in a sense, because the landlord, whoever the owner is, won't actually be on site. It will be operated as an HMO, and it's whether you would feel, how you would feel about that, I suppose, in a way. And that's the judgment call, because in planning, in planning terms, as Peter's already alluded to, there's no legislation that defines what an HMO is. So it's really a judgment call on all of us here to decide whether we feel that the planning officer was right in making that judgment or not. I'm sorry, I should have said that Councillor Alexander and Councillor Baird, that we're not on the visit, you're not allowed to participate. Sorry about that. Councillor McGovern.
Aye, thanks. Right, can I just get the procedure for this correctly then? I thought to get a licence for an HMO, you had to do it through the Housing Department or through Kevin Anderson's domain.
Yes, correct.
And is that separate from this? So if this goes through, would they then have to apply for an HMO licence? Right, okay, right. I'm like Russell, I'm not sure it was an appropriate place to have it. I don't think I'd be happy in a stairway with five different people staying above me. To me, they're built for families, these houses. Some HMOs actually quite lend themselves very well to it. One of the ones in Pennycute, I've got a detached house where it's been an HMO for years, and there's never been any problems with it because there's no really neighbours, you know, immediately adjacent to them. But I think with this, I think it could cause difficulties. But that might be a decision for the Housing Department. I'm not sure just how that would go.
Chair, just to confirm, obviously before you, because it requires plan permission, but if plan permission was granted, then it does need a separate licence as well. So there's two regimes there regulating them.
This could go on all day. I'd just like to, a personal view, if I lived in the flat below, I'd be quite concerned about having possibly 10 people moving in above me, because that could be the, if it's double rooms, you know, did you say there's five or eight? Four?
There's four bedrooms, but the way the drawings are set out, they've all shown double beds in them. So I'm saying it could be four people in there, or there could be four couples, eight people. So I don't know.
So I would take up Adam's point there. I mean, is it a suitable? And that could be potentially 10 cars, because the people that are going into these places aren't always down on their luck. You know, they just, there's been a problem in life, so it looks like a pretty built-up area to me, and it looks like it's pretty residential, you know, so I'd move to refuse the appeal.
Thanks. Not that I'm proposing it, but I'm just inquiring, is there a limit to, can this council set a limit to how many people can occupy the flat at one time? I know it's got four double bedrooms, but could we potentially put a cap on that one person per bedroom, no matter double or single size?
Yeah, Chair, I think that's more of a licensing question, but I would just say, even if it was planning or licensing, actually enforcing that, either A, monitoring it or inspecting it, or even if you find the numbers above, do you then want to be in a position where you're trying to make someone maybe homeless because they've exceeded the numbers? You're better off making a decision you're comfortable with about the land use now, one way or the other, and then that's what it is.
Okay, Colin, Councillor Cassidy, you moved that we uphold the planning decision. You said that, right? Yeah. No. Nope.
I'm happy to support that as well, right, considering the other residents and the density argument.
That's why I'm just trying to save it going to GP for you, Councillor Smale, for its HMO licence. I take it you're not. Right, thank you very much for that, and apologies for that. I should have actually stated at the beginning of the meeting that the process for LRB is that you have to attend a site visit or you're not allowed to. Well, you can come and sit and listen to the you know, worldly wisdom, but in actual fact you can't participate, so apologies for that. But I know you have competing meetings, we all do. Anyway, thank you very much for your attendance.